Over the last year, as I'm sure many of you know, we've had a lot of really great hearings on a lot of really important topics, but I would be hard-pressed to identify, just based on what I saw this morning watching from my desk, a more substantive conversation that is more needed right now, as I'll explain later. So really, congrats to all of you. I have to start with the standard caveat. What I'm going to say today, and as you will soon realize, are my own thoughts and not necessarily the thoughts of my fellow commissioners or of the commission as a whole. These hearings, the ones being conducted this week, on the FTC's approach to consumer privacy, reflect that we are in the midst of a very robust national and even international debate about consumer data privacy. For those who've been studying and advocating on these issues for years, many of whom are with us today, I hope this is a welcome development. I think it surely does reflect a great deal of perseverance on your part. But for many policymakers, for lawmakers, and for consumers, our consumer data privacy moment seems in large part to have come out of nowhere, and in a short time at that. News events about large tech companies, data breaches, politics here and in Europe, each and together too often lead this important debate to skip right past the basic groundwork that I think we need for a coherent policy discussion, and from that, a coherent policy outcome. Some people are freaked out, and in some cases, for good reason. Chairman Simons this morning noted that privacy violations can result in real and legally cognizable harms. But at core, the questions we face and the answers that we choose will have broad ramifications. So I'm concerned about how many have been talking about consumer data privacy, and I think you all should be too. Whatever your views are, I would hope we all agree that policy must be grounded in informed debate. So that's why I said at the beginning, the hearings that we are holding this week are critical to the national interest. And I'm particularly pleased to see that they began today with the topic of the first panel, a notionally modest but actually difficult and essential step, defining the goals of consumer data privacy. As I have repeatedly said, including to the Senate, in discussing consumer data privacy, we need first to distinguish between the operations of a privacy enforcement regime and the underlying harms we are trying to address. Too much of the discussion here in Washington and in op-ed pages has focused on questions like whether the FTC needs penalty authority, whether we need rulemaking authority, whether we need more money. These are important policy questions, don't get me wrong, but ultimately they are derivative questions. Rulemaking, penalties, funding, these are merely tools. It is the substance, the harms we are addressing, and the rights that Congress intends to create to address those harms that require our primary attention. Privacy is a nebulous concept. And different people can and do conceive quite differently how individuals are harmed by a privacy violation. They also differ whether and to what extent they experience a given kind of conduct as a violation, and in how much they would pay to avoid it. Are consumer data privacy harms limited to physical injury and financial loss? Do they include emotional distress? Is a sense of surveillance or creepiness characteristic only of an eggshell plaintiff? Or is that something Congress needs to prevent? What about a lack of empowerment or a loss of control over data? And how, if at all, do these things take us back to Brandeis and Warren's famous right to be let alone? The decision as to which harms deserve vindication by Congress is the predicate for deciding how any law should look, including what liability scheme we should adopt, what we permit, what we prohibit, and under what circumstances, and then, and only then, what tools are appropriate for enforcing the rights that Congress creates. To me, at least, one area of general agreement jumps out for action. When the NTIA surveyed Americans in 2017, the number one harm they reportedly feared, or we reportedly feared, was identity theft. That makes sense to me. And that is why I think the most significant thing we can do for consumer data privacy is to improve data security. While we often discuss privacy and security disjunctively, they are in fact close relatives. And all five FTC commissioners agree on the need for data security legislation, including having the FTC's authority in this area codified, providing us with civil penalty authority to enhance deterrence, and giving the commission jurisdiction over common carriers and nonprofits. Moving that legislation forward would be a major win for consumers and a major accomplishment for privacy. To go beyond this area of agreement, as I said earlier, this week's hearings are critical. We are asking the basic questions we need to ask about what we should remedy, and then considering real questions about how the regime ought to look, the roles of notice and choice, access, deletion, correction, and accountability. The order of these conversations, not to mention the conversation themselves, is essential, and the nation and Congress ought to follow them. I focused in my remarks today and elsewhere a lot on Congress, and that is not by accident. Some months ago, I was invited to address the Privacy Coalition at EPIC's offices and answer questions. After I gave a similar spiel about the need first to agree upon privacy harms that we would address, a participant asked me why I was focusing on harms and not rights. That is a great question, and the answer could not be more important. Unlike, say, in Europe, here in the United States, there is no basic right to consumer data privacy, or at least not yet. Political philosophers locate the source of rights in God, in nature, in our emergence from the state of nature, or maybe stemming from some sort of Kantian reason. As a practical and legal matter, however, rights flow either from the Constitution or the laws Congress makes pursuant to it. The mere fact that I believe I have a right to something doesn't mean that I do. That is what the role of the democratic process is. Congress has, in fact, created consumer privacy rights, including ones that apply to data. We presently have a risk-based model where we sensibly guard more jealously information, the disclosure of which concerns us more. And Congress may, as we are now all discussing, create more general rights regarding consumer data privacy. But this is precisely the point. Congress needs to make those rights. The framers of our Constitution, who established a republican form of government that has lasted for centuries and that remains today a symbol of liberty and economic success the world over, relied heavily for inspiration on the philosopher John Locke. In 1690, Locke famously wrote, this is a quote, "The power of the legislative, being derived from the people by a positive voluntary grant and institution, can be no other than what the positive grant conveyed, which being only to make laws and not to make legislators, the legislative can have no power to transfer their authority of making laws and place it in other hands." Our elected representatives in Congress, not an enforcement agency led by five unelected officials, are vested with the responsibility to make the fundamental value judgments that consumer data privacy legislation requires. For these choices to have legitimacy and authority, they must come from Congress. Not only would delegating the FTC too much rulemaking authority risk that legitimacy and authority, it poses other risks as well. I am concerned about the impact on the market of a set of far-reaching rules that could morph with electoral politics. Businesses, whether they like a particular law or not, need certainty and predictability so they can plan and make investments. These are crucial for them and for our economy. If substantial changes to the law are in the hands of just five people, the chance the rules of the world will change back and forth will, on its own, chill economic growth. And I'll add to it, I don't think it's particularly good for the agency to have to deal with that on a regular basis. Consider the consequences at stake here. The collection, use, and monetization of data is endemic in the economy. it is not just a few very noticeable firms. My children talk to Siri, and someday my toaster will talk to me. What will it tell me? This data-driven economy has provided incredible benefits to businesses and consumers. Even as we are facing questions about the negative aspects of that economic development, we need to make some conscious decisions about trade-offs, balance sometimes competing goals, and develop good policy on the future of consumer data privacy. Think about the regulatory advantages held by large corporations and the impact of regulation on competition. A new set of rules has the potential to entrench the largest incumbents who are best able to navigate and finance compliance while posing substantial barriers to entry for smaller players, even as those rules further some privacy goals. Consider, for instance, data portability, a mechanism that many hope will facilitate competition. I share that hope. Last week, Isabel Da Silva, the president of the French Merger Authority, told folks assembled at spring meeting about complaints she was hearing from French startups that data portability in the GDPR was enabling big companies to take their customers. We have to consider that. And this brings me to my next point. As I've said, any consumer data privacy law will involve trade-offs. And to be clear, they may be worth it. But we should make those decisions in an informed and honest manner, and where possible, achieve an optimal balance among different priorities, competition and consumer protection in particular. We and Congress should be data-driven and thoughtful, using existing research and commissioning new research when necessary. That means, among other things, taking the lessons we are learning from the impact of GDPR and applying them to our policy framework. I want to end on what, for me, is a critical point. We as a society are undergoing a major shift in how commerce is conducted. And however uncomfortable that may make some of us, it's not going to go away. We're not going to succeed like the samurai of old in keeping the guns off the island. By the way, that didn't ultimately work for them. And no matter what laws Congress passes, in a sense, they will never be enough. Prescriptive rules and law enforcement only go so far, especially without trade-offs that many do not want. To deal with what some have taken to calling the fourth industrial revolution, consumers and businesses, not just government, must play a role. Laws alone are not going to inculcate a sense of responsibility with regard to data, an ethical perspective, or a mentality of privacy by design. To accomplish this more fundamental shift in behavior and thinking, which can do more than any law enforcement agency with its limited resources can do to protect consumer privacy, we need to encourage companies across our economy and around the world to view consumer privacy as a core value, as a business differentiator for industry, and most of all, we need to encourage consumers to take their own privacy seriously. So here's my pitch. The discussion about consumer data privacy is one of the most complex policy debates we have had for a while, likely with dramatic economic, political, and social consequences. There may be no do-overs if we get it wrong. So let's go forward deliberately and carefully, taking short-term wins where the consensus is clear, as in data security, and making sure we are evaluating any new privacy regime with data and careful analysis. And let's work on developing a shared framework that helps consumers and businesses understand the value of consumer privacy, so that any consumer data privacy legislation is built on that framework of shared values and a recognition of the importance of privacy. Laws work best when they reflect fully shared values. That's from Aristotle, and I don't know if Professor Ohm is still in the room, but that is quite literally antiquated. But it's still true, and it's really important. These hearings are a great example of the discussions that I think we need to have, maybe the best example. So to those of you in this room, and to those at home who are watching, to people who have submitted comments or otherwise engaged, I want to say thank you. Thank you for engaging and debating, for putting meat on the bones of this privacy debate. And I look forward to learning from you now and in the future. Thanks very much.